Okay, this is Eric John Phelps with Jack and Margie Flynn on March 7th, 2026, here on a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm privileged to have them both. I've read your material. I got your three affidavits, I believe, from you a while back, and I just want to thank you for being what I consider to be the leaders in resisting this judicial tyranny that is disgraceful. And what's really even more disgraceful is none of the lawyers or none of the judges will ever write anything about it, except Melvin Stamper, when he wrote his work, Fruits from a Poisonous Tree. And I
Yes.
understand he left to went from Puerto Rico and then he passed away there. But other than that, he's the only lawyer or any judicial individual that's ever wrote anything on it. And so it just shows you this is such a preeminent topic to be hidden from us for all these years. So
Yes, it is.
Jack and Margie Flynn have been, I would say, the greatest success stories of resisting this. And one of the reasons that I'm interviewing them today is that so they would teach me these things. I'm somewhat familiar with it, but that you would teach me also, that I can teach others and hopefully not be subject to this. I teach it's a military jurisdiction sitting in an admiralty procedure, and it's a federal jurisdiction. There are no states sitting in any state jurisdiction at all. They're all flying military colors. So, but you've been so successful in stopping these proceedings that it's my pleasure just to have you on today. So, Jack and Marjorie Flynn,
It's
welcome.
our pleasure to be here, Brother Eric. It's nice to see you, and thank you for your
Kind.
compliments. I'm not sure that we're the leaders at all. We're simply average people trying to do the right thing for the American Republic. And unfortunately, the people don't believe we're a republic. They think we're a democracy, and we're not a democracy. We're a tyranny, and we're a communist tyranny.
That's
It's
right.
worse. It's getting worse every day.
I teach this the greatest communist country in the world. There
Yeah.
aren't there's no communist China or communist Russia without a communist District of Columbia, which is a district of Catholics, a district of communists, because I teach the Jesuits have taken over. They run the government from Georgetown, and they're the masters and authors of communism. And so they run both political parties, they run the intelligence communities, and to resist this, you have to resist them too, I believe. So, but yeah, I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Well, it is what it is, Eric. I think the one of the greatest problems America faces today is the profound ignorance and apathy of her people. They do not seem to have any interest in what goes on in their so-called governments, which are just corporations acting under the federal corporation. They're not governments at all. They're all blatantly, flagrantly unconstitutional. And the average person doesn't seem to know or care. The only time they seem to show any interest at all is when they run afoul of some kind of government mandate, statute, code, or whatever.
And then they're all over us.
Then they're very interested because it's self-interest. And we've been trying to tell them for God together 30 odd years that when you are selfish and you only see things from your own perspective, you're not really being a good person, a human
Yeah.
and woman. And you're certainly not being a good American because we all grew up with the myth of this country being the land of the free and the home of the brave. And
Right.
we were so proud of that. We stood there and pledged allegiance to the flag and all this nonsense because we thought it was genuine. And then some of us, as we got older, realized that some things don't add up. And we start questioning. And we learned very quickly that when you question certain things, you begin to raise interest in opposition from other sources saying that you're wrong or you're paranoid or you're just wackos or what have you. So we've been opposed by the very people we've been trying to help for a long time because they just haven't been able to fathom what's going on. And I understand it. In my view, everybody in this country has been subjected to so much propaganda and conditioning that they literally are living under a spell. And I don't just attribute it to the Jesuits because I know that they are a huge part of this. But there's another group, and you're probably aware of this group too, who go hand in hand, and maybe they do this to get to the top position every now and again. but they're all working against the average human being. They
Yes.
don't want us to be sovereign in ourselves. They don't want us to have any spiritual connection with the real God.
That's
They
right.
don't want us to be happy, to be healthy, to
That's
be
right.
afraid, to be well nourished, to
Yep.
be well informed. They don't want any of those things.
All
So they
right.
barrage us with nonsense and fear porn every single day. And
Yep.
sadly, that's what seems to, interest the superficial nature of the most obvious, American. So the dolts, they just go along to get along, never
Yeah,
question anything.
going
Like,
along to get along. That's right.
and it's a
Six.
sad thing. I understand why, because when you look at how the average man or woman has to live today, they're working their tails off every single day just to survive. And with the
Yes.
economy as bad as it is, thanks to the orchestrations of the powers that be, is even tougher. So who has time to read a book, oh my goodness, or take a class or actually question what they see in front of their eyes? They just don't do it. And I think that it's so obvious that the powers that be have known this and have structured a system that is so antithetical to real learning, to really comprehending what's going on, that it's like, herding cats to get anybody to really pay attention beyond their own personal self-interest. And that's a very, very, very big problem for America.
We don't have any freedom of debate anymore. We don't have the freedom of conscience anymore. We
No.
don't have the freedom to disagree with whoever's speaking. If we do that, well, then we're subject to attack and maybe even physical attack. So
That's correct. Yes.
it's really getting that bad. So there's no difference if you were in the Soviet Union or Red China. If you
No.
don't go along with a party line, they're going to target you because that's what they do. Kill the messenger. I don't know if you've
Yes.
seen that movie, Kill the Messenger. It's
Yes.
about Gary Webb, when he told the truth about the CIA and Iran-Contra,
Oops, yeah. Can't do that.
and then all of a sudden he commits suicide with two bullets to the back of the head.
Yeah, I
So,
often wondered how we manage that,
how do you do that? How do you make two shots? But
I love that.
it's not funny, but it's terrible. We anybody in the press that wants to tell the truth is stopped. So anyway, that's what another reason why we're here, because I know you're always honest. You're always going to tell the truth no matter what. And you're not going to get any ad hominem attacks from me, because that's the way they deal with us. That when they can't refute what we say, they attack us personally. And
Yes.
I always say in debate, if you go to ad hominem attack against me, I win and you
That's right.
lose, and we're done here. So
I
I
agree
just.
with you totally. I can remember way back in high school because I've had what you could say contrarian views ever since I was a kid because my parents were aware. And so I observed the political theater alongside them through my eyes, but also with the benefit of their wisdom and counsel. And when things don't make sense, there's usually a reason. And I learned to question it, and I asked a lot of questions, and I got into trouble a lot of times because some of my teachers weren't too happy with my, I think they called it outspokenness or whatever. But in my view, I was just trying to be honest with myself so that I could be an honest person and with
They should
integrity.
reward you for that.
I, yeah,
You
you
should
would
be
think
rewarded.
so.
You should
I
say,
have,
I don't agree with you,
yeah.
Margie, but I respect your boldness to say what you think. And maybe I'm wrong, and I'll be considering it. That's the strength of debate and freedom of conscience.
Absolutely. And I did have a few teachers who were like that, who would say to me, I don't think I necessarily agree with you, Margie, but I appreciate what you're saying. And I will look into it. And some of them actually were honest enough and I think honorable
Honorable.
to come back and say, you know what? I did look into that and I think you're correct. And then
Wonderful.
we discuss it in a class, and my fellow students would be like, ugh, they would be so angry because in their mind, I was taking up time about something that wasn't important to them. And so I had a few backstabbers around me at the time, but I learned very quickly who I could trust and who I couldn't.
Sure. There's an old saying among the Jesuit order. They say, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. And
Right, yeah.
so they want to bend you at a young age in the public school system, the public fool
Full
system.
system, yeah.
So if they can get you there to think a certain way, then they've got you for life. So that's you're absolutely right about that. And today is so bad with these educators. They're not teachers.
No.
They're brainwashers. They're educators.
Indoctrinators. Yeah.
Indoctrinators, that's
Yes.
exactly right.
That's
So
what they do.
anyway, you two are two of the primary examples that I know of that have told the truth over the years and have won. That's important to me that you've won in all these
Yes.
cases. I understand you won something like 10,000 cases with you and your students over the past, what, 30, 40 years, something like that?
Over the past 70 years.
70 years.
Well, he's
Yeah,
been doing it longer than
I've
I been
have.
involved in this for a long time. As a young kid, I grew up during the Second World War. Okay. And at that point, I made a pact with myself, a let's say a pact based in knowledge and truth, fact, truth, reality, that this world is totally and completely controlled by evil, totally, everywhere. Okay. No matter what it is, evil has its hand in it. And for years, we've told the truth. We've spoken of facts, we've spoken of reality, we've spoken of how people can help themselves, and mostly how they can help their country. Well, the people weren't interested in helping their country, okay? They were interested in helping themselves. So I said, okay, I'll help the people help themselves, hoping that they will come back and help the country. Well, those 10,000 or so cases over 70 years, a handful of people have wanted to help the country. So that's the American public. And how in God's name do you win with a society like this? And the pact I made with myself years ago is the fact that since evil controls everything, no matter what anyone says, anywhere in the government, anywhere in the society, anywhere in communications media, anywhere that does not stop evil is full of crap. Okay. And that's how we go with it right now. If what you're saying, and I don't mean you, but I mean podcasters, there are many, many podcasters out there, and the vast majority of them are nothing but controlled opposition. So no matter what they say, if they are not stopping evil, they're doing nothing. And none of them offer methods. I think you realize that Mari and I are the only ones out there offering methods, okay? Now, we have heart problems. Both of us have heart problems. So we're in semi-retirement now, and we're trying to back away. And people still are on the phone all the time calling us, do my case, do this, do that. But what about your country? Well, yeah, I'll take care of the country once I win my case.
Famous last words,
Famous
and
last
they
words.
disappear. Very, very few. There are a few, I'm happy to say, that have stayed the course and have gone on to help others, and we love that,
Very
and we're very
few.
proud of them and happy to be associated with them. And we keep in touch, and they keep in touch with us because they're happy to share what they're doing. But there are far too few in a country this large with this many people who think of themselves as intelligent and sophisticated and educated. It's a disgrace that so
Yes.
few people actually care at all about what their government is doing.
Yes.
And when we speak of evil, we spoke of evil long, long ago. Now you hear other people using that terminology. But I remember many times, early days, when we were doing seminars, people would say to us, "Why would you say that? Why
Because
would you
it's
say the
true.
government's evil?" We said, "Because it's a fact." "Well, what do you mean? Give them
A
an
fact, good for
example."
you. Yeah.
And they'd say, "Well," I said, "listen, if somebody does an evil thing and they do it repeatedly, then it's likely deliberate. Is that reasonable?" "Oh, yes." "Well, if that's the case and they continue to do it, they're doing evil deliberately. What does that make them?"
Evil.
"Evil." "There you go. I rest my case."
Sure.
And afterwards, they'd say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I just never thought of it in those terms before. But now I'm going to see things differently." And there were people who had their eyes open. But unfortunately, one's eyes being opened and then one taking the next steps to go into active positions doesn't always follow through. It's rare because people are still afraid and they're still living under the
Yes.
spell of the
Yes.
edumacation
What
that
was
they
that word
need.
you used?
Edumacation.
Education.
Yeah, one of our friends in New Mexico who was a fine artist, when we were talking about this one time, and he said, I agree with you. He said, "It's not education, it's edumacation." And I said, "I love that word, Robert, because it totally fits what's going on. They make you into something that you're not, and you think you've been educated when in fact you've been indoctrinated and
Yes.
disoriented from your true self. And they do everything they can to keep you disempowered, because if you have the understanding, the real comprehension that you are divine, an aspect of the divine, and you contain all that is in every one of your cells, which means you have the power through thought to create and manifest real change. Oh my goodness, they couldn't control you anymore. So they keep us distracted and unfocused. And it's really that simple, and people just don't seem to get it.
But to give you an example of the American society, okay, kind of a nutshell, Ed Griffin invited us to speak at the Red Pill.
Oh, yeah. June of 2024.
June of 24.
In Rapid City.
Who is that again, Jack?
G. Edward Griffin.
Oh, G. Edward Griffin. Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. The creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Classic work.
That was a great book. If no one has read it, anyone listening hasn't read that book, you really should.
And what's it about, Jack, so the listeners can hear you say it?
The Federal Reserve Bank. The truth of the Federal Reserve Bank and the way this world is basically completely controlled by the money masters. That's
right.
Anyway, in a nutshell, yeah.
Anyway, he invited us to speak at the Red Pill. And he said, I want you to present a mini seminar at the Red Pill, which is never done. So we made a presentation on stage, and we made a presentation through maybe a 4 or 5 hour seminar, mini seminar, on our methods, mm-hmm. and specifically our affidavit approach, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, with the Red Pill, theoretically, you have the best of the best, all right? I don't know how many people were there, probably, what, 700, something
sure.
like that. A lot of people.
A lot of people.
I mean, it wasn't 5,000, but it was probably 700 or 800 people there. Okay. And of all the people we spoke to who really love what we do, 2 out of that group did anything. 2. Okay. And this is supposed to be the best of the best at the Red Pill. So that's an example of the American public.
And okay? The Red Pill is where again, Jack? I'm not familiar with that.
They hold it all over the place. It's an expo and people come and speak, supposedly patriots. I'm going to put quotes around it because a lot of them are just there to hawk their wares. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't fit into that category. And I think for a long time, people have said to us, you guys, you know, you should be monetizing yourself because you could support. I
we
said,
don't
we
do
never
that.
Got into this work. We never intended it. We got into this work because of our dogs. And I don't know if you know that story. What happened?
No, I don't. Please tell me.
I think you might be interested in hearing it. We moved from Massachusetts to New Mexico to semi-retire. This was back like in 1995 or so. And we lived happily, comfortably. And we had a foundling dog that was our first dog, Maravay. And we love dogs. And I got a little friendly with some people who ran the dog shelter, a private one, because the city one was a horror show. They just killed, kill, kill. They didn't educate people about how to care for them, spay and neuter, that type of thing. And I'm a Reiki master, so I used to help them calm dogs before and after procedures, things like that, using God's energy. So long story short, we began to foster dogs that needed help to transition from a kennel to a home so they would become good pets, right? And we had many dogs that came and went, but a lot of them we ended up keeping because we fell in love with them.
Yes.
And the city had an ordinance for how many dogs you could have, and that was 4. And we had probably 11 or 12 at the time. And I happened to have a client having a Reiki treatment one evening, and I hear a pounding on my front door. I open the living room door, and there's 2 police officers standing on our porch. And I look at them, and I said, how can I help you? And they said, is that your vehicle out front, ma'am? And I said, no, that's not. They said, well, do you know who it belongs to? I said, yes, it belongs to my client. He's having a treatment right now. What's the issue? They said, well, we got a report from the people on the other street that someone was throwing rats out into the field. And I said, what? So my client came out, and he said, excuse me, let me explain. He said, I keep birds, and their seed attracts mice. So I humanely trap the little things, and I put them out in the fields where God wants them. He said, if those mice weighed more than an ounce, he said, I'd eat one right in front of you. So the cop said, oh, no, no, sir, that's not necessary. I'm sorry to bother you. They were embarrassed. Well, as we're speaking, this fire hydrant of a man comes stomping up the driveway, and it's the head dog officer who was, he was power hungry and drunk on his little tin badge. And he said, one of our foster dogs was in the front yard, little poodle. And he said, is this your dog? And I said, she's a foster dog. We're keeping her for a while till she transitions. And he said, well, You can't have that dog. You can't have, you got dogs in the backyard. You got way more than you're supposed to have. So I'm going to have to write you up. And I said, look, those are foster dogs for paws. He said, I don't care. No, I rules are rules, the law. And I said, well, whatever, knock yourself out. So he said, you'll be receiving some tickets in the mail. Well, a few days later, we received 13 tickets for too many dogs, unlicensed dogs, and unvaccinated dogs, which was not so. So I went to the shelter where I used to volunteer in their little thrift shop a couple of days a week. And they said, oh, don't worry, Margie, we'll make a collection and we'll pay the tickets, help you pay them. And I said, no, you won't, because I'm not going to pay them. And they said, you have to pay them. I said, no, I don't. But that's the law. I said, it's not a law. It's an ordinance, and it's an ordinance that's unconstitutional because it violates my rights. Those dogs are my property are rights. They can't be restricted, taxed, or limited in any way. They're like, oh no, you can't fight City Hall. I said, watch me. And that's what happened. We fought City Hall and we won. We created a big stir amongst the town because the dog officers were completely rabid and out of control. And that introduced us and our methodology to the citizens at large, so to speak. And that's how we started teaching again. And from there, it grew to other towns and communities
So
and
you
other
thought you
places.
were retired in
Yes.
1995, and this happened, and now you're on the way back to teaching again.
Something always happens
Best
to
laid
keep our
plans. Always
I
they
keep
said
us in.
man plans and God law, something like that. Yeah. Didn't quite work out the way we had thought it was going to work out.
Anyway, we would really like it if the American people loved their country
Really
and did
loved it.
something to help the country. For instance, if the average American has a father and that father develops some type of disease, a fatal disease, well, most of those average Americans are going to take care of the father, try to get him medication, help,
Treatments of some sort.
hospital, whatever possible
I have a
methods
phone,
they could
Sue, and
use.
I don't know how to deal with this. So I'm going to take it in the back room so I'm not interrupted one more time, okay?
Go ahead.
A phone?
Yeah, his cell phone
Okay.
is probably buzzing and beeping, and it's very distracting. I know it happens to us too. And
Then
sometimes you
shut
can,
yours off,
yeah,
too.
sometimes you can shut it off, and sometimes they just don't work the way you think they're going to work.
I'm sorry, Jack.
Oh, that's fine.
That's
We
okay.
understand.
Is our voice.
It's a new phone. I don't know how to use it. It's a Samsung. I had an Apple. They got me a new phone and I'm having a real hard time getting used to it and using it. And thought I turned it off, hit the off thing, and it didn't ring it like that. So anyway, I'm having a frustration. My wife and son are away for a week or so and visiting her sister in Ouray. And so I don't have the privilege of asking them how to use it. So anyway, I just
Sure.
have to hide it. So anyway, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No,
You're
that's all
fine.
right. I'm glad you took care of that. So as I was saying, the average American would take care of his father, okay, or their father, bring him to the hospital, try to get medical care. What about the country? If the country is in dire
Yes.
jeopardy of falling into total complete tyranny, we're already in tyranny. But if you fall into total complete tyranny, there's no coming back. They don't care. The average guy simply doesn't care. Now, some do, but those very few people who care are so few you can't even measure them. Okay. And that's what's going on in America. And we got a war right now. Okay. And the American people aren't doing a damn thing to stop that war. They're doing nothing. And this country is warmongering. It's a warmongering country, and it has been a warmongering country forever. And the people support every damn wall we've had. Now, theoretically, the polls are saying 75 or so, 80% of the people are against the war. Well, what does that mean? If you don't do something to stop that evil, to stop that war, you're not doing a damn thing. Your opinion, your voice, whatever you say, means nothing unless you stop evil, and they're not doing it.
That's right. You know, there's a couple of verses in the Bible I think are really pertinent. One is 2 Corinthians 4:4, that this the world lieth in the lap of the devil is the god of this world. He rules this world at the permission of the risen Son of God, but he rules all the nations. He rules them from Rome, from the papacy, because that's his central capital. And so we have evil here. And Hebrews 12:4 says, "You've not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." It's the Bible-believing man of God's duty to resist sin, to strive against the sin, even if it's his own blood that he has to shed. So you don't see this in the pulpits these days. The strength of our country used to be fearless preachers. They were Calvinists. They took up the sword of just defense, as John Knox taught in his great Reformation in Scotland, which set back Mary, Queen of Scots, and ultimately gave Scotland its political liberty it once had. So if you don't have preachers in the pulpit preaching against evil and resisting as as people should, this is what we have, and that's what we have today. So we have a whole world under the kingdom of the devil ruling through the papacy. Donald Trump is a complete and total pawn of the Pope of Rome, just as Obama, just as Bush, just as both Bushes, just as Clinton, just as all of them. They all go to see the Pope. They all go ask for instructions on what to do, and it gets nothing but worse. So when you stand up and say, we have to resist this, and that's what a true patriot does, a true nationalist does, because, nationalism is born out of the Protestant Reformation when the Holy Roman Empire began to be broken up. And you had Germans and Frenchmen and Englishmen, and they had their own borders and nations and languages, their own money. And hence we have a middle class and all the inventions that we had for the last 500 years. You're teaching those very same principles that would result in that we go back to that. So I don't want to go back to the Dark Ages, which is the New Age movement. I don't want to lose my language. I don't want to lose our racial makeup that we had once as a nation. I think all nations need to be known by their race, language, and culture with borders. So if I want to go to Mexico, I go to Mexico and I speak Spanish and I have tacos and I see the when they're playing their horns, they ask their culture. So they're busy destroying every culture, and to do that, they have to corrupt the law. And this is what you have so successfully dealt with and resisted over the years, for which I can't thank you enough. But go
Well,
ahead.
thank you very much for saying that. As you know, we're solidly based in the Constitution. We don't use any other form of law whatsoever except the Constitution. Pursuant to Article 6, the Constitution is the supreme law of the land that supersedes all other forms of lesser law, including state law and federal law. So we don't use state law, we don't use federal law, we use the Constitution. And pursuant to Article 6, all laws are all laws made in pursuance of the Constitution are valid. If laws are not made in pursuance of the Constitution, they're not valid. And 98%, 99% of our laws are unconstitutional. So we stay with the Constitution and we challenge the judge and we challenge the opposition, the lawyer, whether it be a private lawyer, public lawyer, government
Prosecutor,
of
whatever, yeah.
commercial, we challenge them right away. And no one else does what we do. I wish people were doing that, because if they were doing that, they'd be much more successful. But they simply don't.
I
Let me
want
agree with you more. Yes, please go ahead, Margie.
just want to address something. People say, oh, it's just a piece of paper and this, that, or the other thing, and this is this, and there's a plethora of ideas, methodologies out there, all of which are designed to distract from a very simple point. Our founders were, for the most part, not all of them, some of them were traitors, they were duplicitous, but the ones who were sincere, they were, I would say, godly men. They had a moral center, they had integrity and honor, and it meant a lot to them. They pledged their sacred honor, their lives, okay,
Yes.
on the this country.
Yes.
And the principles that they endured at that time are the things that we stand for. And our Constitution stands for those principles of justice and fairness, the rule of law, and a just law, not some arbitrary law that some tyrant is making up as he goes along to feather his own nest. And this is a distinction we've tried to make to people to understand why we're constitutionalists and why we see the Constitution as the bedrock of this nation. Because it's a simple methodology, if you look at it. We have a supreme law. Every public official who takes an office is required by that supreme law to take an oath to support
Amen.
and uphold the Constitution as the supreme law, superior to anything else. And they're bound by that oath. That means something to me. It
Yes.
means something to people of integrity. And when they don't uphold that oath by acting in a manner that is violative of the Constitution, it's our duty as citizens to hold them to the oath and remove them from office. It really is that simple. And had people understood and really under their own heart got the concept, I have the political authority to do this because I am the government. We, the people, are the government. And I have the duty to see that it runs properly, not only for myself and my neighbors, but for my children, my posterity. That was the fundamental truth right there. And the people just let it slip away.
Perry V. U.S. said that very nicely. It's not the duty of the government to coerce the people.
Correct the people.
It's the duty of the people to correct the government.
Amen.
Okay.
That's right.
Perry V. U.S. Look it up. I mean,
what's the name of the case?
Perry V. United States.
Perry V. United States. You people might be interested in looking that one up.
How do you spell that, Jack?
P E R R Y.
Versus U.S.
United States.
Okay. Perry versus U.S. Okay.
It's a very good case.
Will do. Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with everything you say. Constitution supreme, all the land, and everything against us is not binding. It's null and void. So I'm totally of that position. Okay, I define myself with Section 1 of the 14th Amendment as a pre-March 9th, 1933 private citizen. I am not defined by the statutes. I am not a U.S. citizen.
No.
I'm not anything. I'm not a U.S. resident. I'm not a U.S. taxpayer. I'm not a U.S. person.
No.
All of those things are statutory
correct
descriptions, not of the real man or the real woman that's one
that's
of
right. You're a living man on the land and soil. That's how we describe ourselves. We're flesh and blood, living souls, men and women on the land and soil. We're not in admiralty. We are not U.S. citizen or any of those other terminologies. They're all terms of art, and they all mean something very different from what the average American thinks they mean.
Yes.
And that's the language that we have has been so twisted and manipulated and used to deceive and to manipulate and to silently coerce people into little boxes where
That's right.
everybody is a fictional entity. And I'm not a fiction. I'm a living, breathing, flesh and blood woman on the land and soil. I know that. And when I have to face any aspect of government, that's how I appear. They don't like it. And they try to shush you as if you're some wacko, you know, just talking off the top of your head. But we don't accept that kind of abuse. We look them right in the eye.
That perfect word, abuse. That's what it is, abuse.
Yes,
and you
it
know
is.
what? These judges, they know that you're clothed with a legal fiction and that they can't proceed without that legal fiction.
That's right. So we disabuse them of that notion right away. I'm not a legal fiction. You cannot contract with me. You cannot deal with me because we don't match. Okay. You're a corporate fraud, basically. I'm a living being. I'm not a fraud. I am genuine. I am of the flesh.
We say several things to challenge the judge right away.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things when it starts is to say this. This matter can be very easily resolved. Okay. I said it right away. This matter can be very easily resolved. Article 6 of the Constitution requires you, and we're speaking to the judge now, to take an oath and abide by that oath in the performance of your official duties.
And by the way, you don't have a lawyer.
No, never.
Talking to the judge personally, because if you have a lawyer, now he's representing that legal fiction and you're sunk.
And you're incompetent. Yeah.
You're incompetent.
You as a ward of the state, a child, you're incompetent to speak for yourself. Never, ever would we use a lawyer.
Amen. No, we don't use a lawyer.
So just so the listeners know that, okay? So go ahead.
Right. So we will say this matter can be resolved very quickly, okay? Pursuant to Article 6, you've taken an oath, must abide by that oath. And Article 6 mandates that this Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Either this court abides by Article 6 and acts constitutionally, or uses corporate, private, commercial law and commits treason. We say that right away. If it's necessary.
The court either abides by the Constitution
or it does not and uses statutes.
And commits treason.
And commits treason.
Because pursuant to Article 6, the Constitution supersedes all form of lesser law, including state law and federal law. So if the court is going to use state law, codes, rules, and regulations, or federal law, and not the Constitution, that court commits treason. As soon as the judge hears the word treason, he doesn't like it at all. And usually they find a way to dismiss the case. Now, we've got several different ways of doing it, but that's one.
That's important. I need to repeat this because I got to cut gray matter, okay? So you're telling him if they don't hold to the Constitution, you're going to be committing treason.
Yes, but we say it in a different way. We bring in proof to support our position. Okay. Article 6 is one of the most important articles
Clauses 2 and 3.
in the entire Constitution. Okay. First of all, it says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Then it says that all judges, all public officers
Yes.
take oaths,
Must
are
take this.
bound by oaths to the Constitution, and must uphold the Constitution as supreme law over state law and any other form of lesser law. That's the constitutional demand. That's the
It's a
constitutional
mandate.
mandate. Okay. So either the court abides by that or doesn't. Okay. And if it doesn't abide by that, the court commits treason. Well, when the judge hears treason, and this is on the public record, and there are people in the audience, the judge can get very concerned very quickly, as can the U.S. attorney or whoever's representing the opposition. But
Because
that's
they,
only
because they're
one.
all, they all know they're in a military jurisdiction
Yes.
and they're proceeding according to the course of admiralty jurisprudence. And how do you know that? Because every defendant has to have a surety.
Right.
You don't have a surety. You're the real man, you're the real woman. So they can't give you that jurisprudence. And furthermore, you're not an enemy belligerent, so the military colors can't apply to you. So they
Right.
all know they're sitting in this military jurisdiction and just waiting for you to consent to answer a question or whatever, and hence you're the enemy belligerent, you're the legal fiction, and now it's off to the races. So you're
Exactly.
stopping this
That's
by
right.
first citing the Constitution, supreme law of the land. And if you're not going to proceed by the supreme law of the land, you will be committing treason, right?
And that can resolve the case very
Immediately.
quickly, very
I
quickly.
see.
Going back to the dog case, when the judge, I had to go to court. The
Okay.
judge asked me how I wanted a plea. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, with all due respect, sir, and it could be this much respect, I make no plea because this court has no jurisdiction over me. And his eyes got really, really big. And then Jack looked up at the four-color flag and he said, especially not with that flag flying. And his eyes got even bigger. And he looked
Yeah,
over at the bailiff.
because they can't talk about it.
That's right.
They
They're
will
smooth.
never,
Silent.
never say a word about it. They will neither
No, they won't.
affirm nor deny.
That's
Yeah,
right.
go
They
ahead.
just, they'll stonewall you. So he looked at the bailiff and he said, well, and he looked back at me and he said, well, we're going to have to hold this over for trial. I said, whatever. I'm not making a plea.
And
And everyone in the
that
room,
was an arraignment, right?
that was an arraignment.
That
And
was an arraignment, because
yes,
arraignment for the listeners is where the court establishes personal jurisdiction
that's
for the
right. Or
defendant,
tries to. Or
or
tries
tries
to.
to.
But I rebutted their jurisdiction. So he had no place to go. And he was
Did he
frustrated.
enter a plea for you?
He said he was going to enter one for me. And I said, you don't have authority to
I
do that.
object. I see.
I object. You're not my counsel. And I do not authorize you to do so.
I see. Very
He
good.
didn't know what to do at that point.
Margie was also the foreman of the grand jury in New Mexico.
Later on.
So tell him about that a little bit.
That was a lot of fun. This was a few years later. And we
Well, are
were.
you done with the story about the dog going to the court there?
Well, no, I'm not actually. I mean,
Okay,
there's
well, go ahead, please
much
do,
more to it.
because we
Okay.
have time. I have lots of time
All right.
if you
Okay.
have
Yeah.
time.
All right.
Sure.
It's actually, in hindsight, it's rather amusing. So many things happened, but we were being threatened by the dog officers. So one evening, after we had sent our usual letters and affidavits to the usual suspects, we appeared at a town meeting, a town hall meeting, where the city council was. And I got up and spoke, read out portions of a letter that I had sent to the mayor. And he was an idiot. And he jumped up and said, oh, I agree with you that I know they're getting out of control. Other people are complaining. I'm going to take personal interest in this. I want you to come to my office and speak with me personally. I want to hear everything. All right. Then it was Jack's turn to speak. So he got to the podium and this place was packed that night. I should add this because New Mexico is inundated with nuclear garbage. And the waste trucks used to drive through the streets of our town, the outskirt streets. And there was a hearing to be held on where they were going to go and what limitations, blah, blah, blah. So there were FBI there. There were sheriffs. There were federal marshals. There were local police. And there were all sorts of people in suits who we knew were
Sure.
feds.
Plain clothes, yeah.
Exactly. So here we are in this room, and it was packed to the gills with people. And I said my piece, and I sat down, and the audience applauded because a lot of people could not stand what was going on with this crazy dog officer. So Jack said he was going to be mild. He got to the podium, and I literally saw something come over him. I said, "Uh-oh!" I
This
knew.
does
And
happen.
I'm looking at the exit because I can see we might have to make a quick one. And he starts out very quietly, leans over the podium, and he said, "Someone has threatened my wife. No one threatens my wife. If anything happens to my wife or my home or my car or my dogs or anything that belongs to me, there's going to be some goddamn dead bodies around here. You got me." And he banged the podium, and I hear crack. I said, "Oh, this is not going to be good."
There was total
And it was
silence. This had a
absolutely,
manly manifestation. You
yes,
became a
heaven
toxic
forbid.
male at that
He
moment.
very much,
Thank
that's what
God.
the woke were calling toxic.
I was protecting my interests, my
Yes,
fans.
that's
Yes,
right.
right. And I was giving notice.
So it's dead silent for a second. And then the moron who was holding the position of city attorney at the time jumped up and he said, "You can't say that." And Jack said, "I just did. What are you going to do about it?" And he sat down and put his head in his hands, and the place erupted in laughter and applause. And from that point on, it was absolute chaos, I can tell you. So they're banging on the gravel, try to get order back and whatever. And they didn't know what to say. Jack said, "That's all I have to say. That's it. I'm sitting down. You got my message, right?" Well, they were scared to death because New Mexico was the Wild West, right?
Oh,
Guys still
absolutely.
walking around with guns on their hands a whole bit. It's a different mentality, and
I
it's
was stationed in New Mexico
oh,
for 8
okay.
months,
All right, so
Columbus Air Force Base.
you know what it's like, right?
And
It's very, very Hispanic. It's a patron mentality. There's a guy at the top and all the peons on the bottom. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Well, we don't go for any of that. So we
we
just,
helped the
yeah, we did.
peons.
And what happened was the people was, after we won, the people said, "I knew you would win." I said, "Where were you when I could have used your support at the town hall meetings? Huh? You were quiet." "Well, I was afraid my brother works for this." Okay, whatever. I get it. So people started saying to us, "What did you do? How do you make this happen?" Because they had no clue. So we said, "Well, we can teach you." So we started doing localized classes, and the classes grew, and the numbers came, and it just expanded from there. And what was happening in town was all the people who were basically willing victims, pay your fine, pay your fine, pay your fine, will go into court and say, "I make no plea because this court has no jurisdiction over me. I'm a living man. You have no jurisdiction over me. I'm not corporate. I'm not a fiction." And the judges were flipping out because
I'm
they
sure.
didn't know what to do. Too
Because
much
they
of
knew it was all true.
exactly.
They
So
know it's true.
they
One thing
know
I
it's.
had to get over, I thought maybe these judges don't know this.
Oh, they
They all
know.
know it.
They
Yes,
know.
sir.
Yeah, they're all in the same bag
How
together.
can you sit in court every day with military colors flying on each side of your shoulder, one federal, one state, trimmed to gold fringe? And how can you do that and not think about it?
Yeah,
I
we
raised
do.
this to a judge in Berks County about 6 months ago. She was a feminist. And I said, "Well, Judge, I said, it's obvious to me that this is some sort of a military jurisdiction here because you're flying military colors."
Right.
"So what do you mean?" I said, "It's in the paperwork, Army Regulation 840-10. It's an Army military flag."
Yes.
And she didn't affirm nor deny it.
No.
Oh, God.
When I was with the grand jury, as Jack mentioned earlier, the first, I ended up getting picked for the grand jury. And the very first day we walk in, and I was chosen foreman, and I see the four colored flags. So I said to one of the district attorneys that was holding court, so to speak, waiting for
So
the
you call it the four colored flag.
The four colored flag. You know what I'm
Gold,
talking
red,
about.
white,
The
blue, and
gold
gold.
fringe. Yeah,
I
it's
see. Okay, very
military.
good.
So I said to her, I need you to remove that flag. And she looked at me and she said, "What for?" I said, "Because it doesn't belong in this room." I said, "This is a meeting of the grand jury. The grand jury is a function of the people. They're not military, and that's a military admiralty flag. I want it removed." She said, "All right." So she went out and she got one of the,
Really?
She
goofy
actually
box.
removed it.
Absolutely. He went in, took the staff down, and took it out. I said, if you can replace it with a real flag, that would be fine. If not, I don't want any flag, but I do not want that military flag here again. Good
So
for
it was
you. taken out permanently. And Good
all
for
the
you.
other jurors were like, what's this about? So I sat them down and I explained the distinctions, and they said, we didn't know that. I said, well, now you do. So understand that they've imposed a jurisdiction on us that is not lawful for us. We're living men and women. We're on the land and soil. We are not in the water. We're not under admiralty. And what they've done is defraud us of our rights because it's a whole different system. It's upside down compared to what it's supposed to be. And I explained that briefly. That, okay.
That's right.
So the poor DAs, they were like beside themselves. They didn't know what to do. And the first session, there were several people presented, and there was a plethora of evidence against them. So the jury decided, yeah, we should bring a true bill. The following week,
You should bring a true bill.
true
That
bill, yeah.
means an indictment. That
That's
call
right.
it an indictment, a true bill for the listener.
Exactly. Yes. So the following week, we met. It was like 2 weeks later, and there were some questions, and we weren't getting the answers that we wanted. There was no lawyer present for the target, no target present, and they have a right to know. And I questioned it. I said, the entity that you're investigating, that you're bringing this information to us about, has this person been informed that they're a target?
No.
No. I had, does this person have an attorney that's been informed? No. So I asked them to leave so we could have a private discussion, and I told the people why this was wrong. So they came to come back, and we said, no, we wouldn't bring a true grill.
Good for you.
They were furious with us,
I'll
absolutely
bet they would.
furious. Oh yeah. So when it was time to leave for the day, we opened the door, and the place is packed with state troopers, sheriffs, and local cops standing in front of all of the exit doors. And I
Really?
hear a murmur of like fear and worry behind me. I said,
Was
get
this a federal court or a state court?
state grand jury.
State grand jury, okay.
Yes. So
And yet there
I
were federal officers there also?
no, I don't think, well, there were some plainclothes people, so they could have been federal, but there were
State
local
cops.
state cops, state police, local sheriffs, and local police officers
I
from
see,
our
okay.
town. Okay.
And they tried to intimidate the
And they
jury.
tried to intimidate us. So I said to the people, get behind me in a single file. Don't leave until I do. I said, I'm going to go and I'm going to ask the officers to move. And you just walk out. Don't even look at them. Just walk straight out the door behind me.
So they were trying to block your exit?
Yes, they were.
Yes.
They were intimidating us with their presence. So, I don't intimidate easily. Maybe they thought I would because I'm not very big and, I'm a woman and all of that stuff. I walked up to them and I said, excuse me, we need to leave. And I just like this. And they literally went, okay, because they didn't expect it. And we walked all the way out into the driveway so that I could get all the members because there were 22 of us or so at the time. And they said, wow, that was weird. And I said, that was an attempt to intimidate us because we're standing up for the law of the land. Okay. They're not obeying the law. They're not obeying your oaths. And that's a problem. So they said, like, but you got a lot of balls. And I said, well, I take your meaning. But anyway, don't let them intimidate you. Don't talk to anybody about this. This is between us. I said, I want to know. I think we need to notify the judge what's going on, but I want to talk to you about it because I don't want to be the only one, and I don't want to speak for you unless you're in agreement with me. And they said, well, would you write a letter? And I said, yes. I said, can I do that and say I'm speaking for the
So now
judge?
let's just go back a little bit, Margie. The reason why you would not bring a true bill is because the person that they were investigated was never told they
Never
were being
told.
investigated,
Correct.
and
Yes,
they
it was.
didn't have an attorney. They didn't have any sort to give an advice.
Correct.
So for
Correct.
those two reasons, you refused to indict or bring a true bill,
That's
and
correct.
those savages tried to block your exit out
Yes.
of there.
Yes, they
You get
did.
out of there. Now the next thing you're doing is you're going to talk to the judge about it, right?
Correct.
Okay,
So
go ahead.
once I discussed it with the rest of the jurors, because I did not want the system to say, oh, you wrote that letter as if it was coming from the jury, because the system knows it's coming from me. I said, I want to make this all above board. And they all said, well, you're the foreman and we agree with you because what they're doing is wrong. So yes, okay, write the letter. So I write a letter and I send it to him and I send copies to the DAs and whatever. And it
So
was,
you're writing a letter to the judge and you're sending
yes,
a copy to the DA. Okay.
correct. And I made our case for why we did what we did, and expecting them to do the right thing, notify the targets, et cetera, et cetera, and to operate pursuant to the Constitution. because they're bound by oath, et cetera, et cetera. So the next section, which was like 2 or 3 weeks later, and we had been told at the beginning that we would be in service for the full 6 months because it was so backed up with cases, right? So the next session, we come in, we're sitting down, and all of a sudden, the judge who swore us in comes down the aisle. And he goes up to the front and he sits down. And I thought, uh-oh, here he's going to try to shame me and try to put fear into these people. So he starts out very quietly. Well, he said, you're probably wondering why I'm here today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today because I received a letter from the foreman of the jury here. And I want to make sure, first of all, that that the rest of you are on board with this, that you understand what she wrote about and that you are in agreement with her sending me the letter. Is that the case? And they went, yes, nodding their heads. And he said, well, I'd like to know if anybody, has anything to say. And they were quiet. So he started talking about, oh, the honesty of the police and the district attorney and
Total
nonsense.
lies,
And I'm sitting there
total
and I'm
lies.
busting a gut because I know this is crap and I don't want to hear it. I know that he's trying to schmooze the jury, but they were, I
So
haven't
the
been
judge
there.
is starting, he's going to talk about certain facts of the case
Right. No,
before.
he's going to talk about what it was trying to do was put a glow on the system, does its best, it tries really hard, sometimes mistakes are
Oh, I
made,
see.
yada yada yada. Because
Okay,
he was
gotcha.
trying to soft pedal a way out for their error. Okay. So when he was through speaking, he said, does anybody have anything to say? So of course, I raised my hand.
Of course.
Yes, Ms. Edwards. And I said, first of all, I said, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your very busy schedule, Judge, to come here and speak with us today. I said, I appreciate the fact that you took the letter seriously. And I want you to know that it wasn't just coming from me, it was coming from me on behalf of everybody. And he looked up and he said, and that's, and everyone here agrees with that. And they all said, yes. Okay. So I made
So they're
my
getting a little bolder with your leadership.
yes. They were
Okay.
getting bolder,
They're
which I
speaking
was
up.
thrilled
Okay.
because I wasn't sure. There was one or two that I thought, well, but I thought the rest of them would wuss out. And there was one older fellow in the back who was an alternate who never said boo for any of the sessions that we had had, right? So I make my points. I reiterated what I said in the letter and why. And I said to the judge, I said, you, pursuant to your oath, have a duty to ensure that this grand jury is treated fairly and that the system is operating pursuant to the oaths of all of the public officials who are holding offices as district attorneys and to the police offices as well. I said,
Yes.
right now that's not the case. I said, and we have to notify you and let you know there's something wrong and it needs to be fixed, or we can't bring any true bills.
And you're referring to their oaths to uphold the
That's
Constitution of
correct.
Article
Absolutely.
6.
Article
Yes.
six,
That's right.
clauses 2 and 3.
Okay.
So he said, yes, I'm aware of that. So when I finished, and he was at this point long suffering, he couldn't wait to get out of the room. He said, does anybody else have anything to say? And I hear a voice from the back of the room, the little old man. He stood up. He said, I do. So the judge said, go ahead, senor. He said, judge, senor, your honor, I agree with her. And he sat down. And
So was he a
everybody,
Spanish-speaking gentleman?
very Hispanic speaking,
Okay.
spoke very poor English, okay?
Yeah.
Spoke Spanish his whole life. He must have been in his 70s at the time. He sat down, and everybody in the room looked at him and said, yeah, okay, because they were proud of him because he'd never said a word.
I see.
The judge asked if anybody else had anything to say, and a lady got up from the back. She said, I want to just say that I'm glad that I live in America where we can have this discussion here right now, like we're having. And he said, thank you. He said, well, okay, I'm going to take my leave. He gets up and he says, thank you for your time. He's walking down the little, like a little galley that they had, and he looks down at me. And if looks could kill, I would have disintegrated on the spot. And I
I
looked up to
see.
him and I said, thanks so much for coming, Judge. We really appreciate
I love it.
it.
Kill him with kindness. Yeah, kill him with
He was
kindness.
beet red by the time he got out
I
of the.
bet he was.
Oh, he was so angry. And again, that day, the same thing happened. When we get to the door, the guys were at the thing. And I said, what did we do the last time? Let's do the same thing. Get behind me. We pushed them out the door. I said, sooner or later, they're going to
So they
think.
want to do the same thing again?
Yeah,
Block your exit out of the building?
they tried it. They tried to intimidate us because they only know this kind of force mentality. And in New Mexico, especially if you're a woman, you're nothing. So I don't take kindly to that kind of
Right.
prejudice. Okay. I don't like it. I don't like anything that's unjust or unfair. And I said, get behind me like we did the last time. Don't look left or right. Just walk through the door when I do. So I did. And the cops this time, they just backed away. As soon as I got close enough, they just backed away. They knew I was going to do this. Out we went. And this one fellow said, you know, he said, I was a little scared today because when that judge showed up, I thought, oh my God, well, are we in trouble? He said, then I realized, no, he came because what you said was true. You hit a nerve. I said, yes, I did.
Yes,
And
you
now they
did.
know that we know they're going to have to be a little more careful.
That's right.
So from that point on, okay, we had another week of people coming in. And this time the target's lawyer was there. And this time it was about a sexual abuse case, and there was a huge amount of evidence, witness
That's good to
testimony, and
hear.
so forth. So we did bring a true bill. But there were two or three other cases that we weren't satisfied that the police weren't, you know,
So they
doing something.
wanted to use you, you're the people for the grand jury, the 22 people for several cases and not just one.
Oh yeah, sometimes we would hear more than one in a day. Yeah.
Oh, I never heard
And
that
if
before.
it's a simple case, you can hear probably two or three in a day because it's not lengthy. There's not 25 witnesses and a lot of testimony to go through. Simple things.
But
But
this
if
was
it's a
criminal, right? It was criminal, right?
criminal, absolutely
Yes.
a
This
criminal.
grand jury is a criminal matter, not a civil matter.
That's right. So
Okay.
after that last session, okay, another week goes by. We get a letter in the mail from the district attorney's office telling us that they have suspended all sessions of the grand jury. Yeah.
As long
As long
as
as
she
I was
is
going to be
woman.
foreman.
This has never happened before in the entire history of the United States of America, as we
So they
think.
suspended the hearing of the grand jury.
Suspended the grand jury. There was no grand jury. That's
So if
the most.
they don't have it in New Mexico, you have to have a grand jury for every criminal matter, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't.
But they didn't.
They
Now,
didn't.
Pennsylvania, we haven't
Exactly.
had a grand jury indictment in 50 or 60 years.
All
It's all
unconstitutional.
information in
Yes. Oh,
communist Pennsylvania. But yeah,
definitely.
okay.
Definitely.
So I never heard of the grand jury being used for several criminal matters. Very good.
But
Thank
when,
you.
like I say, if it's a simple thing, like a robbery or something like that, and there's only a couple of witnesses, it doesn't take that long. And since they had so many cases like that backed up, we would hear more than one in a day. But for something more serious, no, because there are more witnesses that come in and there's more testimony to go through and facts that you have and the ongoing drivel that comes out of the DA's mouths. So that's a whole different story.
Ongoing
No.
drivel.
There are a few
Yeah.
takeaways from this situation. Okay. First of all, the grand jury belongs to the people, doesn't belong to the government.
Right.
But the government has co-opted the grand jury because the people don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay.
Yeah, they don't.
Now, over 70 years, Eric, I've spoken to
Excuse me.
probably 300 people or more who wanted to set up grand juries. And I said, look, if you really want to do that, you want to do it correctly so that the people control the grand jury and not the government. I'll show you how to do it constitutionally. Each and
Now,
every one of
for
them.
the listeners, just let me intervene. For the listeners, listener, the grand jury was created by our founding fathers to be able to give the government permission to prosecute somebody.
That's
And if
right.
the grand jury didn't bring a true bill giving them permission to do so, they couldn't. So it's a wonderful check on
That's right.
tyranny, right?
That's
Do
what
you
it
agree with that?
was. That's
Okay.
a check on tyranny to keep the government honest in its
Yes.
prosecution of potential criminal
But the
cases.
case here is that the grand jury belongs to the people, not to the government. The government has no constitutional control over the grand jury.
Yeah.
The real government, the people, have control over that. But that's not how it happens in this country. The government, through the DAs, the AGs, take control of the grand jury right away, okay? When the grand jury acts as it acts, it commits treason.
Yes.
Every grand jury in this country commits treason because it is not allowing any due process of law for the targets. Zero. The
And
targets
that
don't.
would be civilian due process of law, right?
Yes,
Not a military due
not
process.
military, civilian
It's a
under Article
civilian due
3.
process. So when the grand jury permits this military procedure, they're committing treason, right?
Yes, they
Absolutely.
are. They know it.
Absolutely.
They know they're doing it. They usurp the authority that belongs to the people so that they
Yes.
could control it. And you know that this is all about money for them because they bond everybody out.
Right. But
Yes.
what
It's
I'm
all
saying
money.
here, this is very important. The grand jury itself, the members of the grand jury, commit treason each and every day throughout this country.
No, they don't know it.
Okay. Now they're so stupid and so ignorant of their power and the duty of the grand jury that they don't know they're committing treason, but they're committing treason. We live in a treasonous nation. We have a treasonous government from A to Z across the board, federal, state, and local. And we have a treasonous society because that society upholds the treason of the government.
And they
And we're
consent
the
to it.
only people in the country that I know of that speak of treason of the system all the time. No one else uses that word, okay? Now, since we've been using the word evil, and I've been using it forever, it's come into pop. I'm not saying it's because of us, but I guess some people have caught on. This is an evil society. So people for the past 10 years or so have been using the word evil. You never heard it before. And people are recently, in the past year or so, beginning to use the word treason, which they never used before. So maybe some people are opening their eyes, okay? So if you have a totally treasonous government at all levels and a totally treasonous society, how in God's name are you ever going to fix it?
That's right.
Okay? The people have to develop some consciousness overnight. They have to have an epiphany overnight, and we just don't see that happening. Now, the second position here is that that judge, okay, who was our enemy at that point,
Yes, sir.
wound up becoming
Yes,
our
sir. The judge is the enemy because he
right.
wants to drive you into his personal jurisdiction where then he can enforce his wicked military jurisdiction with his admiralty federal procedures. If you don't go there for him, he hates your guts. And I'm tending to think one of the reasons is he's making money on every case. So if he
Yes.
can't make a case, he's going to be out of money. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but let me tell you about this judge. His name was Eugenio Mathis, Las Vegas, New Mexico. He became our best friend. From
Oh,
being an enemy, he became our best
that's my
friend
mistake.
because he, well, I wouldn't say our best friend, but our best friend in the courts, our best friend in the system.
Eugenio
Because,
Mathis?
yes, Eugenio
Eugenio.
Mathis. He became a constitutional judge, okay? Because he saw what we were doing was supporting the law of the land, the true law of the land, and the law for the people, which should be used for the people, which is never used for the people, okay?
Yes.
So every case that went to him from that point on was a victory for our people.
I
He
see.
found in our favor all the time.
And
Whether it be for
that's
us,
New Mexico, right?
yeah,
Yes, believe it or not.
whether it be for us personally,
For our
okay,
students.
because Margie sued the city and he was the judge on that. It's found for Margie, okay. Well, the jury found for Margie. But anyway, he understood what we were doing. He turned his tail, became a constitutionalist, and then the system got rid of him.
I'll bet.
Oh, yeah,
They did.
they got rid of him as a
Absolutely.
judge.
Yeah, they did.
Absolutely.
They set him up with some nonsense and they besmirched his reputation because he became useless to them because he wasn't playing their game. Okay. He stepped outside of the ranks by following the Constitution and acknowledging that, well, I have to rule this way because the Constitution says such and such. He actually would name the Constitution.
Wow.
None of them did that. That one judge who was a real, real idiot. We used to call him the Banty Rooster
Oh,
because
yeah.
he's a little guy. He was, like
Oh,
this.
yeah. That's the
He thought he was,
Napoleon complex.
exactly. And he thought he was top dog. He ran the Metropolitan, the district court there. And he was obnoxious, to say the least. But one of our students who became a good friend, who was Hispanic, born and raised in that community, she was there for some reason one day with somebody else. And he saw her. He called her over. He said, Kathy, I need to talk to you. And she said, what do you want? And he said, your friends with the Constitution? She said, what about them? He said, you got to get them to stop. She said, what? He said, you got to get them to stop because people are coming in and I have to dismiss the cases. We're not making any money.
Oh, that's what he said. We're not
Yes, he
making
did.
any
But she
money.
said, well, isn't that too bad? She said, shame on you. Shame on you.
So
You
the
took a vote.
judge, so Marge, I just want to review this. So the judge said he was got angry and he says, you got to tell these people to stop because we're not making any
Making any
money.
money. Got
Those
it.
words
Then
actually came out of his
he
mouth.
did say that. She said, shame on you. And then he said, well, what I mean is, you know, we don't make money for the city, you know, to put in projects and stuff like that. She said he was trying to cover his behind because he's let it slip that they make money on these cases. I said,
That's
that's
right.
right, they do, but they don't want us to know that. But she said he
Right.
was so mad it just came out, you know. Then he tried
Wow,
to
good for
fudge
you.
it. But I said, good. See, now he knows that you know. And that's going to spread like wildfire because she knew a lot of people.
So every case is a money-making issue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah,
No matter what
absolutely.
it is.
And they all get bonded. Okay, they make a
Yeah.
tremendous money,
Absolutely.
amount of money on the bonds, municipal bonds, and they just bond every damn case
That's
they
why they
can.
drag everything out so they can keep it going, keep the bond going. People don't know this. They have no idea what goes on every single day in these so-called courts. And they're not courts, they're administrative corporate tribunals. That's what they are. And
Administrative corporate tribunal,
upside
that's right.
down.
That's
Well,
exactly right.
they're more than that, but let me finish the other position
Okay.
on the grand
They're
jury.
frauds.
As I say, about 300 or so people over the years wanted to set up private grand juries, meaning for the people, not for the system. And I told them, you're not going to be able to do that because they are going to hold you as an enemy of government, trying to assume the duties of government. Therefore, they'll take action against you. And people said, oh, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Drop dead. We'll do it our way. That's exactly what happened. Okay. None of those things happened. I told them I could show them how they could establish the grand jury constitutionally, okay, and act as a grand jury of the people, not of the system. People, the American people weren't interested, okay, because they think they know everything. And frankly, they don't know a damn thing. I
Sure.
wish they did. I really do.
Some of them know just enough to hurt them because they
Just enough
believe
to hurt themselves.
a lot of myths come out. And because, you know, we mentioned earlier, we talked about how there's a lot of controlled opposition amongst podcasters. Well, there's a lot of controlled opposition amongst the so-called patriots,
Oh,
the
absolutely.
truth
Let
seekers.
me tell you what happened to me. I had a
Oh,
class several years ago here in Pennsylvania, and I had a student there. His name was he was a CIA officer for 23 years, and he brought
wow.
his wife with him. But
Okay.
he was very friendly to me, and his name was it'll come to me. And so I had him over for dinner, and he said, "Yeah, Eric," he said, "We have his name is we have lots of agents in this movement." He said, "Of course, you're not one of them." I said, "No." He said, "But we have, for the most part, hijacked it. And so that's why it's not going to go anywhere. We're ultimately the ones behind the sovereign citizen propaganda.
Yes.
That's all out of the CIA."
Right.
And but he also said to me, before I was with the agency, I was with Delta Force. And he said, I was a guard stationed with the Bushes. With George Herbert Walker Bush, that criminal.
Yes.
And he said, I overheard his wife say to him one day, well, what are you getting Bill for his birthday? And Pappy said, well, I don't know. And she said, well, you should. Barbara said, well, you should. He's your son. Bill Clinton was the son of George Herbert Walker Bush.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So that's what this CIA officer told me that he heard personally in his house. So he said, we've
Interesting.
hijacked everything and nobody's ever going to go anywhere. And he said, and furthermore, I want a refund for my course. I said, what? He said, I want a refund. That's 2,500 bucks. That's a lot of money to refund. I said, okay. He said, because I don't believe you're ever going to stop the jurisdiction of these courts. I said, okay. Yeah. So anyway, that was my, and he's the only student I ever had that demanded a refund.
That's bizarre.
Yeah,
Wow.
really bizarre. Yep. His
Boy.
wife was a dear lady. Her name was Beverly. And But when he pulled that, I thought, well, here's the reason why he came. And he showed me his badge. He showed me all these awards he had gotten in 23 years. And he was an Irish Catholic. I can't remember his name now. It'll come to me. Philip Redman. That was his name. Philip Redman. And so that's what I had learned from him. But he says, you're never going to break our jurisdiction. And so that's why I'm talking with you, because you've done it many times.
Yeah, by sticking to our guns. See, we don't get off point. What happens with most people, no matter how well-intended they are, mostly people that go to court are new, they're nervous, they're scared, and they're trying to remember. It's like when you have to take a class and you really didn't study well enough, and you're trying to remember what to say when you have to get up and recite something. So it doesn't come out with conviction of heart. So right away, the judge knows that you're kind of just testing the waters. So he's going to throw everything he can. He's going to distract you off point. So your script goes out the window. And if he asks you a question you're not prepared for, you're the deer in the headlight syndrome takes
Yep, you're
place.
in a headlight syndrome.
We've said to people over and over again, don't come and study with us if you think you're going to just slap a band-aid on this problem. You have to get dig in deep, okay, and understand the fundamental rot here and realize that what we're trying to do is route it out. And just having a superficial knowledge isn't good enough. You've got to get it in your gut. You've got to really
That's right.
believe it. You have to live it. We live
That's
it.
right. That's
And
right.
people have said to us at seminars, God, you guys, like, you can finish each other's sentences and you seem to, you don't even need notes. How do you do that? I said, we live it every single day.
Yeah.
And we're not just saying it because it sounds nice, it sounds patriotic. It's the truth. The full truth is
Right.
that we have a duty
Yep.
to ourselves, to our honor, to our posterity, to our nation. The
Yes.
nation is the people, not the
Yes.
machinery of government. And this is one of the things we try to stress. People are so cowed by the idea of government slash authority. Well, we are the authority. We
Right.
gave a little bit of our authority to the people running the machinery of government
That's right.
under limited circumstances, governed by the
Yes.
Constitution, the
Yes.
duties of their office. That's it. When they
Yes,
step
that's
outside
it.
of that position, they have no authority. They're out. They're
That's right.
rogues. They're renegades. And when
Amen.
people begin to get that, then they change. Then they go to court with a different attitude. Instead of being afraid, dry mouth can't talk. They look at the judge like this guy's a two-bit hustler, and he
That's
can't even
right, a
tell me what
two-bit
to do.
hustler.
And
Yep.
that's when the shift happens. That's when people begin to speak from conviction. And when people have conviction and they're committed to what they're doing, the system starts to crack a little bit because they're not used to this. They're used to having willing victims. Where do I pay my fine? Okay. If they are, it, there's no form of resistance that can ever beat conviction. None. And this is what we've tried to cultivate in people. And the students of ours who have gone on to do well, not just for themselves, but have helped others, they have that conviction. And they are cultivating it in the people that are working with them. This is
Wonderful.
what American people lack. They lack conviction.
That's right.
When
They
you don't
lack
have that
conviction.
kind of conviction, that kind of political will to say, look, we're a republic. A republic is a nation of written laws. That law in our country is the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1787, as amended in 1791 with the Bill of Rights. It's not the 1871 Constitution that was supposedly done for DC, which overlaid everything else,
When they created their military district of the District of
That's right.
the
In
Military
1871.
District of Columbia. That's right. And by
That's
the way,
right.
did you know they created in 1871? In 1874, they abolished that act, and
Well,
then they
that's
brought it back in
they brought it back.
1878.
Yeah,
Yes.
right. On steroids. And
On
the
steroids.
cities and towns and everything followed after that, all the municipalities, all that other nonsense
Because the
underneath.
radical red Republicans controlled by the papacy were behind that. Because
That's
they
right.
wanted to make District of Columbia Rome on the Potomac.
Well, they pretty much did that. And it's been to me, it's been nothing but a corporate fraud ever since. It's murderous. It's thieving, it's manipulative, and it's absolutely pernicious to the people, to their best interests, to their health and wealth, to their rights, to everything that we supposedly enshrine in this country as being important. And the hypocrisy reeks. It's disgusting. And I
Oh,
wish
yeah.
the American people cared enough to say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. Because a
That's right.
lot of people say, well, just don't comply. Well, if you're not going to
That's
comply,
not, that doesn't
you have
work.
to know what that
Doesn't work.
really
That's right.
means. No, you have to be armed to the teeth with the law of the land. You have to know how to use it. Because the idea of applying the Constitution is the simplest premise you can think of. But if you don't know the Constitution and how it applies and when it applies and what it means and how it limits what any aspect of government can do, you're not going to succeed. That's absolutely key.
Now, I mentioned before that we have treasonous governments in this country, federal, state, and local. Okay. We have a treasonous society because that society upholds the treason of those
Yes,
governments.
sir. Yes, sir.
So if you act in support of treason, you aid and abet treason and commit treason,
Yes.
whether you know it or not. Now, this is something that people should understand. No court in this country, including the Supreme Court, has any jurisdiction whatsoever. Okay? They are all, and I mean all, treasonous courts.
Well, they have no constitutional, we the people, having conferred that jurisdiction on them.
That's right.
That
That's
jurisdiction is
correct.
gone. And I maintain it was gone with the Erie decision of 1938 when those criminals decided a federal question that wasn't even brought before the court. And that's when those criminals at Roosevelt Court said there's no more federal general common law, which means civilian due process of law. That's what they meant with that. And they wanted to get rid of Erie for years. They were debating that. So that's when they pulled it off. And the question wasn't even before the Supreme Court. So when they pulled that, then civilian due process was kicked out. And immediately what came in was the Trading with the Enemy Act jurisdiction of Section 17, which is now codified at 50 USC 4316. That jurisdiction of Trading with the Enemy Act is in every federal court and in every state court. Every one of them, they're all sitting in that jurisdiction. So it makes perfect sense that they're making money. It's an admiralty. If it's going to be a federal jurisdiction, they have to have a federal jurisprudence. So the federal jurisprudence is the admiralty jurisprudence that they brought in, where every defendant has to have a surety. So this makes perfect sense of what you're saying. And so if you are claiming to be one of we the people and you're holding them to the limitation of the Constitution, what are they going to say? No, you're not one of we the people? Well, prove it. If I'm not one of we the people, then prove it. Where's the contract that made me no longer one of we the people? Because there is a contract. It's that seizure of March 9th, 1933, when FDR seized every person, place, and thing, when they were all clothed with their legal fictions. And by the way, I mentioned in my class that they started collecting the birth certificates, having that going on. And then they declared in 1933 that everybody's now registered with a birth certificate right in time for the seizure of FDR on March 9th, 1933, when everything was seized. So you're making perfect sense. You are describing this military government to the T. And to have victory over that by simply claiming the Constitution, you're one of we the people, is delightsome to me. So go ahead.
Now, in the Article 6, clauses 2 and 3, okay, all government offices are bound to the Constitution by oath, as I said earlier, okay. That original oath was taken to the 1787 Constitution. All the oaths that have been taken since 1871 have been taken to the corporate Constitution, not the national constitution, meaning the Constitution for the United States of America. It's taken for the corporate Constitution. There is nothing in the anywhere in the articles or the amendments of our original Constitution that authorize a corporate constitution and a corporate government for our American Republic.
Yeah,
Okay.
that's the 1871. That's the District of Columbia Act. That's when they created a corporation for the
Yes.
District of Columbia, and they consolidated like Georgetown and Washington into this one
Yes.
big
Right.
mass. Yes,
Right.
that's right. Okay.
And from that grew corporate governments, corporate departments, corporate police departments, fire departments, school departments, all over the country. Everything is corporate. Again, there is nothing in the Constitution that authorizes that. What is written in the Constitution is valid, authorized, and enforceable. What is not written in the Constitution is prohibited by the Constitution. Constitution makes no provision for corporate government. So all of these governments throughout the country commit treason and have no jurisdiction whatsoever lawfully. And no court in this country has lawful constitutional jurisdiction.
And you're very careful to use that word lawful because it's
Yes.
not legal, it's lawful,
Yes.
referring to the Constitution. Okay.
Yes,
Right.
that's
And
right.
then there's a very, very big difference.
Huge difference.
I had a friend, he was being accosted by some federal agents, where I forget where they arrested him. And he turned to him and he said, "You're legal. I'm lawful." And you know that guy let him alone as soon as
I
he
can
said
believe it. Yes, because some of them actually do understand the distinction and will walk away. Yeah,
Go
it's
ahead, Jack.
rare.
I didn't mean to just
No,
interrupt.
no,
That's
that's a good point.
fine.
I was just making the point that the whole system is a complete and total fraud, and the people don't understand it. If the people understand that the court has no jurisdiction whatsoever to even hear their case, because that court is a corporate court, and you can even go to Dun and Bradstreet and They're listed, yeah.
find that
Right.
court listed in
Yes.
Bradstreet as a corporate court,
Yes.
then it is not a court under the original Constitution. And the Congress, the 1871 Congress, took an oath to the original Constitution, okay, bound by oath to that Constitution in perpetuity. So that Congress, the 41st Congress, committed treason when it set up the 1871 Act, which we became the 1871 Corporate Constitution. So
So
your
that
whole
was a
system,
41st Congress, you said?
41st Congress
Yeah,
did it. Yes.
41st
41st Congress.
Congress.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And they were pressured by the bankers, of course. Everything goes back to the money line.
Well, you got that filthy J.P. Morgan, John Pierpont Morgan, and the other
All
big
of them.
banksters there.
All of the
Right.
banksters.
The
All of them.
what's the book called? Robber barons,
Yes.
written by
Yeah. They were
Richardson. Yeah,
robber
so he
barons.
has
They
all
still
those
are.
corporate banksters. Yep.
They're still all
Because
robber barons.
they're making an empire from sea to shining sea.
Oh,
That's the
very
reason they
clever.
got rid of the Indian nations,
Of
because they were
course.
making an empire from sea to shining sea. Yeah, so
Yeah, the Indian nations were inconvenient for what their agenda was, obviously. They knew what they wanted and they grabbed everything. And
they
unfortunately,
can they
they
converted
succeeded.
our blessed little historic white Protestant republic into a miscegenated, huge Holy Roman Empire, exactly as existed in Europe for 1,000 years. And the president became the Holy Roman Emperor. And the Holy Roman Emperor in that empire owned every person, place, and thing, had to do whatever the Pope told him to do. And we have the same thing here. The Commander-in-Chief, Holy Roman Emperor, has to do everything the Pope tells him to do. That's why they go get their orders. But it's identical. And so when you're talking about this, they had to have a whole new jurisdiction for their empire. And
That's
so
right.
what you're doing is you're cutting to the quick and showing how to stop this jurisdiction for individuals when they're brought to
That's
court,
right.
which
You
I
have to
love you
recognize who you
for.
are. Well, what we've tried to do is straightforward and simple because it doesn't need to be complicated. One of the real issues with this country, with people's lack of understanding, is because everything appears to be so complicated and the system designs it that way to obfuscate the simple truth, because they don't want the people to know the simple truth. It's elegant in its simplicity, and it's profound and it's deep, and it's effective. But if you don't know that, if you can't speak of it with conviction in your heart, you can't be committed to it because you believe so deeply, they're going to walk right over you. And that's the distinction. You can't just go in there and throw the word Constitution on a couple of times and expect that they're going to fall, because they won't answer you. And people have said, well, they don't, when I say Constitution before, they don't say anything. I said, of course not. They can't acknowledge, because once they acknowledge the Constitution in this context, then they're going to have to acknowledge that they took an oath to this Constitution, and that oath requires them to uphold the Constitution and your rights that are guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. So why would they do that? When they have you here as a willing victim, they want to get you to pay, they're going to bond you out, whatever it is, and you are none the wiser. You think you're getting justice and due process because you went before something that looks like a court. That's not due process of law.
That's not civilian due
No, it's
process.
not.
Try to keep it clear. It's their
Let's
military due process,
re-explain
but
the
it's not our
distinction.
civilian due
No, it
process.
isn't. We're not in the right jurisdiction because of that. When you know that and you can speak that with enough conviction to any judge, he's going to sit back because he knows that he doesn't want to cross that line because, oh my goodness, other people are here. And it's funny, when a lot of our people have had to go to court for whatever reason, they usually, the last case of the day, they have to wait and
Yes,
wait.
they always
So
hold to the
everybody's
left.
gone.
Yes,
Yeah, so
ma'am.
nobody will hear what they have
That's
to say.
right. That's exactly right.
They want to keep them as quiet as possible. It's really, it's so ridiculous, and it's so galling for us to see how simple things could be, like with the war situation, with the idiot in charge, that's our so-called president, who, he is a
We'll
whole
just
other
make
thing.
sure he's just doing what he's told. He's
Exactly.
surrounded by Jesuits and priests to tell him what to
And
do. That's why he reads from the
he's
teleprompter.
surrounded by Israel. Israel owns him lock,
Well,
stock,
no,
and
well, just no,
barrel.
remember, the Pope runs Israel. It's the
Well,
revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. And I say those Jews that run
Jerusalem.
Israel hate the Jews who live in Israel. I
Oh,
mean,
I know. I
what
know.
government would give land for peace and love their people? Netanyahu is a traitor. Ariel
Oh.
Sharon was a traitor when he gave Gaza to the Muslim Arabs in 2005. They hate the people there, and they're doing exactly what the Pope tells them to do because they're Jewish Freemasons.
Well, they're all Freemasons and they're all evil and they're all doing
Yes.
the work of the dark side. You can call them what you want. It's the same premise over and over again.
And
They run the show. The people have no say.
it's about time the American people wake up, or they're not going to have any country whatsoever. I mean,
That's
my
right.
God, it's bad now, but do you know what the hell is under communism? How
Oh.
many people have ever seen communist nations? I have, okay? They're hell.
They're hell.
You
They're
don't
in
want to
the
live in a communist nation. We're a communist nation, but we haven't fallen into the pit yet.
That's right. And
So we can stop it.
there's a tremendous book written on that called The Black Book of Communism, written by four authors. And they go on to say that the communism in the 20th century killed approximately 175 million people. Is that the system you want here?
Yeah,
You're
no.
absolutely right. Communism is Jesuitism. The Jesuits perfected communism on their Paraguayan reductions for 150 years, from 1609 to 1759. And they chose a Jew to write the Communist Manifesto when it was Jesuit General Peter Becks who tutored Marx. So whenever you have communism, you have Jesuitism. And then when you know the Jesuits' governments run this government, then it makes perfect sense why they would use this government to finance Mao and Stalin and all these other criminals, because the Jesuits ran Mao and they ran Stalin and they destroyed all the liberals, free thinkers, middle class, Bible reading people out of their countries.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do here
So
too.
anyway, what you're doing is you're doing a great work to stop it. And
We're trying to stop it.
that's in
We're
these
trying to.
courts of military jurisdiction. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to play moot court. Can we play moot court today?
Sure.
Okay, I'm the judge. And you now have been arrested for, oh, let me see. You committed a felony of some sort. You were carrying a gun without a permit. Okay, that's a terrible felony, isn't it? Just awful. So you've been accused of a felony here in Pennsylvania by carrying a concealed weapon without a permit. How do you plead?
We make no plea because this court has no jurisdiction over me. In
Has no
fact,
jurisdiction.
sir, pursuant to Article 6, you are required to be bound to the Constitution by oath and uphold the Constitution as supreme law of the land. Now, this matter can be handled very quickly and very easily. Either this court abides by the Constitution and protects the rights of the people guaranteed in the
In
Constitution,
the instant case
or
made.
this court abides by state law, corporate law, all inferior to the Constitution, thus commits treason.
So
What are you going to do?
you're gonna bring in, you're gonna talk as the individual there. You can settle this real quickly by abiding by the Constitution because you've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution. And if you don't uphold the Constitution by attempting to uphold the state statutes, if you can't carry a concealed weapon, you are now committing treason. I think
Correct.
that's so key by saying treason because there's Title 18 where anybody that would deprives someone of their rights, according to Article 23H of the Hague Convention, commits treason. So they put it
Right.
even in that statute. Not that we're going to abide by that statute, but you're
No,
right. They've
but
committed
he's there.
treason.
Yeah, it's true. They do. And I
Okay,
would preface that.
so anything else you want to say
I
to the
would
judge
preface
here?
that. I would preface what Jack said by saying, I'm a living, breathing, flesh and blood woman on the land and soil. Okay. And then I would go forward with the rest of it. I make no plea because this court has no jurisdiction over me. And I would go forward with the rest of it because once they hear that, you've put them into a different quagmire. They're not used to being told what they're doing every day, which is treason. And
Right.
when you say that, then they know that you know that there is a higher authority than what they are pretending to follow. And they don't know how to treat you after that. They really don't know what to do.
So the first question they ask at arraignment is, well, what is your name? And you just say, I'm the living, breathing woman, man.
Yes.
And I'm one of we the people.
Yes.
And therefore, since I'm a living, breathing man or woman, I'm one of we the people. I'm not making a plea because you have no civilian jurisdiction. You have no jurisdiction here. And therefore, with no constitutional jurisdiction, it would be, for you to proceed would be treason. Right? Something like that. Is that how you'd say it?
You could say that. But what I mentioned is a direct challenge to the judge. Okay, direct.
Yeah.
Because it puts the judge in the hot seat. Okay. And in court, we only say things that are effective in accomplishing what we want. We try to limit our language, okay?
Right, right. Less is best.
Yes.
Less is always best in court.
Yeah.
So you want to hit him hard, and then you want to wait for his answer, okay? He's on the hot seat. Now it's up to him to either conduct the court and commit treason or dismiss the case. Now, the only other thing we would say if he said anything is, the Second Amendment has no prohibitions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
no
can be infringed, okay? Therefore, if you abide by the court and the court is committing treason, you're going to find me guilty. If you abide by the Constitution, okay, you're going to uphold my rights. Now, we don't even say that, but I'm just explaining that.
Yeah, see, I'm thinking that if you go to the merits, it's over.
Yeah.
You've got to do exactly what you're saying, hold them to the jurisdiction. I want to we the people, and you have no jurisdiction here. It would be a sin for me to plead to this jurisdiction because I'm loyal to the Constitution. It's civilian due process of law. And this is obviously not civilian due process because you got these military colors here. So I'm not going to make a plea. And if you seek to make one for me, you'll be committing treason.
Correct.
That's
I had
correct.
A friend that was in a criminal matter in Missouri years ago. And the judge said to him, well, how do you plead? He said, plead. I'm not here to plead. He said, I'm accepting the legal title of this case and I'm merging titles. This trust has collapsed and the case is dismissed. That's what he said. And the judge said, you can, and he gets up to walk out because, you know, if you don't, the judge doesn't have personal jurisdiction, you can get up and walk out. They can't stop you from walking out. They have to have personal jurisdiction before they can call the bailiff to keep you from walking out. So he gets it up and he starts walking out, and the judge says, I want you back here on such and such a day. See, that's an offer. It's an offer to contract.
You not accept it.
He turned to him, he says, you just breached your oath to the Constitution. That's what
Good.
He said, I don't know where it came from, but he said, but that's what I told him. And he got up and walked out of the courtroom. He says, nobody would look at him as he's walking out. As he was walking out, he walked out the door, walked down to his car and drove away. And he happened to be speeding when he was coming back to Pennsylvania. And the cop pulled him over and ran warrants on him. And there was no warrants for his arrest. So the judge hadn't issued a warrant for his arrest when he did that, because he did the right thing.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of
the
sense.
The judge didn't want to mess with it. So he said, I'll let this one go.
Yeah.
That.
And when I was in Dolphin County Court years ago with one of my buddies, there was a black judge up there and a black bailiff, and they were both Freemasons. And so I pretended to be a Mason.
Okay.
And so the judge, because I acted like I was the attorney for my buddy, okay? So he comes up to me and he says, hey, so how you doing? He says, you traveling, man? I said, yeah, I travel. I travel to the west, because that's what all, to the east. That's what all the Masons say. Yeah, I travel to the east. He said, oh, okay, brother. He said, and he gave me the Masonic handshake. I gave it back to him. And he said, yeah, what we have today is we have the fish market. He called all the court proceedings of all the defendants coming up to get sent off to jail or whatever. He said, we call it the fish market.
Yes.
I was floored. What a unbelievable attitude, but that's what they act like. Yeah.
That's what they think.
That's what
That's
they
how they
think.
treat people. That's what they think of them.
Just shooting fish
And a barrel.
in a
That's it.
barrel. That's all
That's
it
right.
is.
Yeah.
So anyway, so here you are. Here we are at arraignment. You're at arraignment. You were arrested. You had to get a bond to get out, right? And so now you're at arraignment, and they want you to make a plea. And that's where I'm not making any plea because this court has no civilian jurisdiction here.
Constitutional civilian jurisdiction.
There's no civilian jurisdiction here for me to plead to. And you've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which includes, this is a state matter, which includes due process of law under Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, which is you're bound by that civilian due process of law. And so if you're not going to obey the Constitution to give me civilian due process of law, and you proceed, you'll be committing treason. So therefore, for the benefit of the court, I'm not going to make a plea. The court has no personal jurisdiction, and to keep the court from committing treason, I'm leaving. You turn around and walk out. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, simple.
Just that simple.
It can be that simple if you
You
can hold a conviction.
have to be careful of some of these judges, okay? That's why we limit what we say, all right? Now, after I said what we would say originally, when the judge asked me how I'm going to plead,
Well, go
okay?
ahead, say it again. Say it again.
All right. I would say something like this, not exactly, but something like this, because it
Get the
changes
point
all the
across, yeah.
time. Okay.
Yeah, be
Yeah,
flexible.
it's the point. I'm asked if, how I'm going to make a plea. Okay. You, sir, have taken an oath to the Constitution as required by Article 6 of that Constitution, and you are bound by oath to uphold that Constitution as supreme law of this land, superseding all other forms of lesser law, including state law and federal law. Okay, now this matter can be decided very quickly and very easily. The court can abide by that constitutional position, or the court can use unconstitutional statutes, rules, and
Correct.
regulations that are superseded by the Constitution and commit treason. And then I leave it. I don't say
See, then you
anything
just leave
else.
it.
I
That's
leave it.
all that is. You can just leave it there and
Yeah.
wait for him to say something.
Right. Because if you start saying anything else,
Right.
you're, let's say, weakening your position as far as we're
Yes.
concerned.
Yes. You don't
Okay.
want to go to the merits.
But if,
Don't
no,
want to
you
go to the
don't want to go
merits.
to,
Don't want
you
to the
don't want
merits.
to go to the merits.
Right.
But if the judge says anything, okay, that's unconstitutional, in reference to what I just stated, I would state something further. And it's something like this. Since you maintain that your unconstitutional actions and rulings are valid and enforceable upon me, pursuant to Article 6 of the Constitution and its mandates imposed upon you, okay, specify the exact articles and amendments in the Constitution that authorize your unconstitutional actions and ruling. And then I
You
keep
put him in
going.
the hot seat to cite the Constitution to give him permission to do
Support.
what he's doing.
That's
Right.
right.
See,
And there's none. There's no
there is not,
constitutional support
and he knows that
whatsoever.
too.
Okay. And we have other methods as well, but those two are very effective. Very effective.
The support
Well,
of the court. I have a friend that's been charged with three felonies for some corruption of a minor. And he shouldn't have been on the telephone, you know. I mean, I had to rebuke him for that. But this is a sting operation. It's just, there is no minor involved. This girl is not 16, she's 19. Found out her phone number. And he never talked to her. He talked to a cop who was pretending that she was on the phone. Now, if he was really, talking with a young girl, well, then he needs to be punished for that. But there was no young girl here. So this is a huge sting operation going on throughout a whole country, making millions of dollars for these governments, these military governments. So this is exactly how I'm intending to tutor him, that when you go to arraignment, because his arraignment's in April, that's the first thing you're going to say. I'm not making a plea. The court lacks civilian jurisdiction here. And pursuant to Article 6, you've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution, that to give me civilian due process of law. and just leave it there. And if he starts to talk, well, where in the Constitution can you proceed outside of your constitutional limitations? Something like
Can't.
that.
We'll send you by email the language, okay?
Yeah,
So
okay. Yes. Okay.
you have it pretty exact.
And I would also stress that he states that he's a living man on the land and soil. Okay.
Oh, so you're the living man, living woman.
Yes, the land and
So
soil.
you're not clothed with a fiction.
That's right. You're
I
not a
can't.
corporate fiction. You're not a person or an individual as called
That's right.
in
Not an
statutory
individual.
time.
That's that individual term they use in Trading with the Enemy Act, with the Emergency Banking Relief Act. A
That's right.
person is an individual, partnership, association, corporation, all artificial.
All of it. It's
All.
all garbage. And it's trying to cloak you, the living being, under these false titles. And because people don't know that, they say yes and okay, jurisdiction.
You know, I was reading Calvin's Calvinism many years ago, and he was a French lawyer, one of the most brilliant men who ever lived. And he was debating a Catholic priest named Pigius. And Pigius presumed that the man is the person. And Calvin said, oh no, the man is not the person. The person is what the man is clothed with. It may either be good or it may either be bad, but the man is not the person. So, pursuant to biblical truth, the man is not the person, but pursuant to Catholic dogma, oh, the man is the person. And that's what we're under today. And that was written 500 years ago, Calvin's Calvinism. So, when we're resisting being clothed with this legal fiction, we're resisting historic Romanism and their corruption of our jurisdiction.
Well, yeah, it's been corrupt a long time, but the people don't know this. That's why they have to realize who they are, okay, what their true nature is, and that they are not this corporate fiction. And it's
That's
the
right.
corporate fiction that's being attached at all levels in all cap letters all the time. People don't even recognize that either. When we tell them, they're like, what? I didn't know that. Well, yeah.
Look,
Are you a dead person?
people don't even recognize the chemtrails in the air. They don't recognize them,
know.
okay? They don't recognize the phony snow that falls all over the country and the phony rain
That's
that
right, the
gets
phony
projected
snow. We
all
have some
over
out here
the
that hasn't melted.
country. Yeah.
The plastic snow.
Plastic snow.
I mean, some people recognize it. There's always an exception to the rule, but the exception is so minor it doesn't even show up.
Yeah.
People don't know much of anything. Okay, they really don't. I hate to put it that way. I would like to say that the American people are the brightest, most intelligent, most creative people on earth, but they're not. The average Mexican is far brighter than the average American. I hate
Well,
to
he
say
has more common sense. He was out there
it.
plowing a
Yes, he does.
field and has
Yeah.
contact with the land. And
Yes.
furthermore, he doesn't have these horrible, terrible academic universities that lie and give you all these phony baloney topics day in and day out. The first 2 years of any university is all communism and socialism and
Absolutely.
lies. That's why I hate AA. I told my son, you're never getting an AA. Now, if you want to learn something, just go to a school where you can learn an art or whatever,
Yeah,
or a
something
skill.
that makes sense, a
Yeah,
skill.
that's right, where you can make some money at when you get out and do
Yeah, something real.
it's something real.
Yes, I
Well,
agree.
anyway, I just can't thank you enough for your persistence,
Well, thank you.
for your comprehension of these things that you learned it the hard way with blood, sweat, and tears. And I regard you as my instructors, as my advisors. I have for years. I wonder often, what Jack and Margie think about that? But I just can't thank you enough for just taking time with me today and being
Our
on this
pleasure. Our
call.
pleasure.
And if people would like to get in contact with you, was there some information I should give them?
Yes,
Just
sure.
the email address, or
I'll give you our website too. Our
okay.
website is citizens of the American Constitution.net.
Citizens of the American
Constitution.net.
Constitution.net.
And our email is take back our rights at yahoo.com.
Take back our rights at yahoo.com.
Right. And if people are interested in getting in touch with us, we are specializing or trying to specialize because we're in semi-retirement. We have, as I mentioned, health problems. We're trying to get over those. Okay. So we're limiting our work. But for those who want to help the country, okay, not themselves, but who want to help the country. By all means, get in touch with us. Okay, we'll be glad
Well, I'll
to.
tell them that. If they want to help the country to get in touch with you, shall I use the email that you gave me?
Yes.
Yes, that's
Yes,
fine.
by all
Do that.
means.
And also let them know that on our website, there's a lot of information, a lot of our material, our constitutional methods, our affidavit process. There are templates of affidavits used for specific purposes, lots of other information. And there are one of the things that I think people would be wise to check into is our constitutional teaching series. It's 9 segments, each about 2 hours, give or take, with lots of information that's practical, pragmatic, and useful. And we also have the mini seminar that we presented in South Dakota at the Red Pill on our affidavit process and some of the anecdotal situations that arose that I think
Well,
people.
that affidavit process is really important, and
Yes,
I
it
have to
is.
review it more with you. I put it in my advanced class, but I would just like to have them get into contact you with the advanced class, and I may just put this audio video up on my advanced class, and they can
That's
hear what
good.
you had to say with these
Sure.
specific things. But
Absolutely.
there,
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, there is no better time for you to teach what you're teaching than now. We're on the verge of losing it all.
Yes, we
Yeah,
are.
we
You
are.
know, we're
And
right on the razor's edge.
right on the razor's edge, yeah. So anyway, I want to thank you for being with me, Jack and Margie Flynn. May the Lord bless you for your good works and the good things you've done, and resisting tyranny, and it
Well,
cost you many things. So
in the same vein, we
same.
thank you for your
Yes.
work for the American people.
Yes.
Because you've been doing it for a long time as well.
Yeah, it's been a while.
May God
Every
bless
time
you
I
and
look in
keep
the
you
air,
safe.
I look in the mirror, I'm reminded a little bit.
All of us.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm going to end with a prayer and then we'll go. By the way, thank you for Jack and Margie Flynn. We pray your blessing upon them as they seek to do right things and resisting this evil, which Satan is behind of, because he's the God of this world. And we pray, Father, that those who come to know the Lord, that believe that Christ died for their sins, was buried and rose again, and have salvation in Christ, and then have the power by thy Spirit to resist these Satan worshipers seemingly on every hand, especially in the courts. So we ask your help in these things, and we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for both of you. I'm
Thank
going
you.
to stop the recording.